Our scripture today is Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. So if you want to turn there or just listen as I read it to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's an interesting question. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. The message is an identity rebuttal to JVT Part 4.
Good morning. Well, I thought that scripture reading was perfect for this final conclusion of an identity rebuttal to Jewish voices today. Because no Jewish voice is going to separate us from our God. This is the last installment of this series, but certainly not the conclusion of my life's work, exposing Jewish perfidy, nor an end to identity rebuttals, proving an endless litany of falsifications and deception by the sworn enemies of God and his true Israel people. In fact, we must balance the identity message with as much evidence proving that the biblical and historical Israel can be none other than the white race. And that will be the focus of forthcoming sermons, which any honest reader will not be able to deny, simply because of a preponderance of factual witnesses. It will be denied by the Antichrist adversaries via Judaism and what Lenin called useful idiots regurgitating the spirit of hate, hypocrisy, and confusion. Jews have always considered white people as cattle, or called goyim, a derogatory term, and held in the highest contempt, being cynically exploited to subvert our own culture and heritage. For the limited time and space for this presentation, we've been looking at what the Jew has done in the realm of religion to pursue political ambitions. And there is no better example than the reversal of Genesis 12:3 to falsify the object of that verse, having it pertain to Jews by blessing them. The cruel joke is that the more we bless, the more they curse us with their big lie. However, our love for the truth will overcome Babylon in these last days. That's why God has brought forth a movement of Christian identity, although the enemy tries to impede its growth. We have a choice: to listen to the voice of God or a Jewish voice. Many shall be deceived, but the truth shall make you free. Other Otherwise, there would have been no need for the admonition in the New Testament to overcome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Therefore, it is my hope and prayer that this series addressing the facade of Messianic Jews and their shallow theology will equip the saints in dealing with the seemingly eternal conflict between Jacob Israel and Esau Edom, and then move forward with a solution to the Jewish problem. In the Talmud, the Jewish voice in textual form, we read about how they really feel about Anglo-Saxon rooted Christianity. To wit, quote, "Let there be no hope for Christians. May they be swiftly cut down, doomed, and uprooted." From what's called the Birkat Haminon. A Haminon is another word for Christians, or Minim. Very common thread interwoven throughout the Talmud is stated by Rabbi Simon ben Yochai in the Jewish Encyclopedia. Quote, "The best among the Gentiles deserve to be killed," end quote. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote about this Jewish cult sacrificing humans to their devil god Moloch. When Christ said, "Your father was a murderer from the beginning," he was referencing these Jews to their god Moloch. In the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, a secret document exposing the Jewish conspiracy, Protocol number 11 states, "The Goyim are a flock of sheep, and we are their wolves. And you know what happens when wolves get hold of the flock?" End quote. The Talmud teaches that wherever possible, a Jew should kill Christians and do so without mercy. The life of a goy and all his physical powers belong to a Jew. Now, I give the citations straight out of the Talmud, which will be posted on our website. Even Christians who read the Jews' filthy Talmud are slated for death. Quote, Rabbi Jochanan says, "A goy who pries into the law is guilty of death." In the Zohar, it says, quote, "The people of the earth," meaning non-Jews, "are idolaters. And it has been written about them, let them be wiped off the face of the earth," end quote. Now, these rabbinic writings are not isolated aberrations, but rather they are the definitive norm of Jewish thought, including Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Burness. The homicidal tendency is cultured bloodlust in a petri dish from cradle to grave. Their deviant theology is clearly reflected in the immoral pathology of Talmudic exhortations that thou shalt kill. That's why there is no comparison to Jewish law and God's law of the Christian Bible when dealing with the subject of taking life or any other moral issue. The Talmud is the circumvention of Mosaic law. For example, murder committed by a white Christian is punishable, whereas if a Jew murders a white Christian or any other non-Jew, there is no death penalty, according to the Talmud. The ultimate curse against our race is the calculated genocide Jews have for us. After spending hours and days of extensive research of the JVT website, it dawned on me that not once is the white race ever mentioned. They give all kinds of lip service to African Negroes and Oriental Indians, even bequeathing to them the status of Israel's lost tribes. But the white man is put in a particular category, an unbridgeable gulf. As Jew Maurice Samuels wrote, quote, "The Jew and Gentile are two worlds, that between you Gentiles and us Jews there lies an unbridgeable gulf," unquote. He went further, stating, "We Jews, the destroyers, will remain the destroyers forever. Nothing that you do will meet our needs and demands. We will forever destroy because we need a world of our own, a God world, which is not in your nature to build. Beyond all temporary alliances with this or that fiction lies the ultimate split in nature and destiny, the enmity between the game and God," end quote. Kind of a peculiar final line there. The game the Jews play is a crapshoot, thinking they can deify themselves with impunity, which will be the biggest gamble ever lost. Likewise, Jewish historian Lucy DeWittowicz arrogantly postulates, quote, "Our sense of being Jews and therefore being different from non-Jews were nurtured in me and my sister from infancy. We were raised to know that the world was divided into two irreconcilable groups, we and they. They were the non-Jews who hated us and wished to destroy us, but we will prevail largely because of our moral virtues and mental endowments," end quote. Well, her inflated ego and neurotic paranoia declares, quote, "An even greater difference exists in regards to the soul. Two contrary types of soul exist. The non-Jewish soul comes from three satanic spheres," whatever that is, "while the Jewish soul stems from holiness. The general difference between Jews and non-Jews? A Jew was not created as a means for some other purpose. He himself is the purpose, since the substance of all divine emanations was created only to serve the Jews. The important things are the Jews, because they do not exist for any other aim. They themselves are the divine aim. The entire creation of non-Jews exists only for the sake of the Jews," end quote. Isn't this self-deification? If it's not, then please pass the pork chops. An old commie trick is to accuse your opponent of what you yourself are guilty of. I hope and pray that the Jews are Satan collectively, because that's who's being thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. They are already tormented day and night with this reasonable expectation for all they do. This prophecy is for you, Rabbi Bernus. You and your ilk will be ashes on the soles of my feet. Malachi 4:3. In order for Jews to be a holy people, and were satanic, means they have an entirely different God. It would also mean that white Christians worship a satanic Jesus. The Noahide laws call the worship of Christ idolatry. And yet, when reading Rabbi Bernus, he is quite liberal in allocating the woes of the Jewish world to Satan. They are solely responsible for what they have brought upon the earth. They will be revealed, whom Christ will destroy with the voice of his Spirit. All the satanic voices of Jewish power and signs and terrors of falsehood, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, describes the Jew who will perish. What Lucy doesn't understand is that the us and them is in Genesis 3:15, and it's speaking of Adamic man, that is, the racially pure, in contrast to non-Adamic peoples found throughout the world of mongrelization, including the hybrid Jew. The difference between us and them is that slavery of other people groups, as Ken Ham terms it, is a concept that is alien to white civilizations. The slave, in Scripture, were fellow Israelites who could not make restitution for a trespass and then put in servitude to repay their sin debt. There wouldn't be any Negro problem in America if Jewish slave traders hadn't brought them to our shores in their slave ships. And by the way, Rabbi Bernus, please spare me and my readers and congregation the crocodile tears when it comes to human trafficking. When your Jewish buddies trick white girls from Poland, Russia, and the Ukraine with the promise of lucrative jobs in Israeli and tens of thousands are turned into prostitution. It is the theocracy of Jewish communism to have 2,000 slaves for every Jew. We in Christian Identity don't proclaim the destruction of Jewry as Jewry has proclaimed against mankind, but rather the God of Israel, who hates Esau, Edom, and prophesies their destruction. Because, as Paul puts it, they please not God and are contrary to all men. And here's the spin. According to the Talmudic mind that calls good evil and evil good, Judaism describes Western civilization as the empire of insolence. And the wicked, get this, the wicked of the progeny of Esau. Insolent because we embrace Jesus Christ. Jews have sacred festivals and curses, casting spells, just like in witchcraft, for the purpose of usurping and bringing down white nations. They've done a pretty good job. Done a good job of it with multicultural diversity, in which the Jewish umbrella controls all non-white peoples that are pitted against white people. See how easy it is to lie? Just call the white race Edom. And you don't need any proof. You just need to be a Jew. The book of Obadiah renders Edom as the flagship and symbol of mongrelization, which necessitates a universal God or gods in defiance of the one true God of Israel. Who was behind the Civil Rights Act of 1964? Who was behind the end of apartheid in South Africa? Jews believe Esau was the father of Christianity. According to Rabbi Saadia Grama, quote, Jewish success in the world is completely contingent upon the failure of other people. Jews experience good fortune, meaning they make money, only when Gentiles experience catastrophe. The difference between Jews and Gentiles is not historical or cultural, but rather genetic and unalterable, end quote. Success in the mind of a Jew is in the world, not in a right relationship with God. Don't you know friendship with the world means hostility to God? So whoever wants to be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. James 4:4. Only the white race is begotten from above. Therefore, all other peoples of the world are God's enemy and ours. God did not create the so-called other races. They are an aberration of mixed blood, and their origin is a mystery. I don't care where they came from. All I know is that they're contrary to God and opposed to us. For the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness is already in operation. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And will prevail until it's taken out of the way. JVT has got to go. If our race is to prevail according to the Word of God, the life of a Jew is predicated upon causing the white race to fail. Think about that. Rabbi Bernus and JVT cannot succeed unless they get white people to do something that would make them cursed, such as befriending the racial aliens of the world and even having them rule over us. Deuteronomy 28 is all about the blessings and curses of Israel. If we're doing the things that cursed ancient Israel, then does that not logically make us the recipients of the same cause and effect today? Chapter 28 didn't apply to Esau. The true Edomites today have figured out how to curse true Israel by getting us to sin, by forsaking our racial purity like Esau did, which is the first and foremost on the agenda of Jews and Messianic Jews. So why should anybody believe the Jew and the heathen are Christian, let alone Israelites or spiritualized Israelites? I don't think other bipeds can be blessed unless they get as far away from us as possible. When presenting these facts of Jewish malevolence, often quoting the Jewish sources themselves, they're just cavalierly dismissed as not being representative of all Jews. And if that historical strategy of deniability doesn't fly, the next best thing is the psychological warfare of screeching anti-Semitism. There's no such thing as good Edomites and bad Edomites. Otherwise, God would not be throwing into the furnace of fire every last tear. The rabbinic ritual of cursing is not only reserved just for goyim, but for any Jew who decides to go to the other side, to go to Christianity, and is cursed with excommunication, going so far as to pray for the nonconformist Jew to perish from the earth. This Jewish practice has survived the millenniums. John 9:22 mentions the rite thusly, quote, "These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogues," end quote. And it gets a little bit more dicey from a prophetic perspective when in John 16:2 it says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues." Yes, the time comes that whoever kills you will think that he does God a service, end quote. I used to think that meant true Christians like us and Christian Identity. But what the heck would we be doing in a synagogue? I think the context is in the first century when Christians entered a meeting place, which is all the word synagogue means. And the Jews there were followers of Judaism. Now, the biggest persecutors of Christians at that time were Jews and indeed killed the followers of Christ. The synagogues must have been racially diverse because Paul, who was a racially pure Israelite, became a major opponent of the Pharisees, who were primarily Edomite Jews. By the same token, there may be a prophetic application to today's modern church, which has become Judaized and racially diverse. If one espouses racist hate speech, you might be excommunicated. You might be cursed. At least you'll get dirty looks. All the more reason not to enter a congregation blasphemed by the presence of bastards. The aforementioned begs the question, why haven't Messianic Jews and Rabbi Bernus's Jewish Voice Today ministries been banned from the land of Israeli? Why do they get carte blanche to conduct guided tours to the so-called Holy Lands? Why hasn't this Jew-turned-Christian been assassinated by Jewish snipers? They've done it before. I think it's because they always refer to Jesus Christ as the Jewish Messiah. And that would make their Yeshua a mongrel like them. And they really have not forsaken or abandoned the Antichrist Jewish culture. It's a counterfeit Christianity that is friendly to the world, but hostile to the Word of God. They remain loyal to Judaism and therefore do not incur the wrath of the Sanhedrin, which, by the way, was reestablished in 2004. Now, being the highest tribunal of the Israeli state and religion after a 1,600-year absence, they're back. Surely the highest authority in the land would enforce the dreaded curse of the Birkat Haminim. may the Christians be cut down. It's not just an excommunication, it's violence. Ingrained into the Jewish soul is the hostile thought that there is no hope for Jews converting to Christianity, who are worthy of extermination for engaging in idolatry. Judaism is the greatest mafia of all criminal enterprises, and some Jews are expendable. If you ever run into a Messianic Jew, ask them about the Mishpuka, and you will either get a deer in the headlights look, or they will feign not knowing what you're talking about. A Mishpuka, of course, is a word describing the secret crime family of Jewry. As with child ritual murder, Judaism legion of liars brazenly deny that any such thing exists. In the Revisionist History newsletter, issue number 70, Michael Hoffman quotes Professor Ruth Langer of Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, making a monumental admission that, quote, most of the Christian accusations about the Birkat Hamenem were not wrong, end quote. How about that? The only reason JVT could possibly be getting a free pass is that their slippery sophistry of the Messianic Jews is the Talmudic Messiah of Jews collectively and just borrowing the name of Jesus Christ as a mere smokescreen. Even more astounding is the absence of repudiating anything bad about Judaism or repenting publicly of what Zionism is responsible for in the world. You will never hear Rabbi Bernus denouncing the vile treatment of Christ in the pages of the Babylonian Talmud. You will never see JVT publishing articles apologetic for the terrorism and atrocities committed against Christian Palestinians. JVT joins the controlled Jewish news media in only reporting Israeli kindness and benevolence to indigenous Christians, never the brutality and wanton violence against civilians in their own homes. You will never hear Messianic Jews complain or protest incidences like what happened in 2012 when Israeli parliament, known as the Knesset, parliament member Michael Ben Ari ripped pages from a copy of the New Testament which had been sent to all 120 members by missionaries. This was his response. Quote, this is a provocation by church missionaries, and there is no doubt that this book and those who sent it belong in the garbage can of history, end quote. It is, in fact, against the law to send members of the Knesset Christian literature. So it is rather disingenuous when Rabbi Bernus implores his non-Jewish stooges to support his stated purpose that, quote, there is a prophetic imperative for a Jewish voice that proclaims the good news of Yeshua. The Jewish people themselves need to hear this voice so that they can respond to its call. And we can collectively fulfill our destiny to be a voice for God to the nations. Everything we do is designed to reach the Jewish people with the message of Yeshua. End quote. Everything they do is for the Jew. The good news is not the Jewish poison of universalism and Jews masquerading as Israelites. The white race has already fulfilled its destiny promulgating Christianity, but somehow that's not good enough. And Rabbi Bernus thinks the wheel has to be reinvented. The Jews have already rotted the body of Christ with the cancer of Jewish propaganda and lies. Jesus said these Jews could not hear his voice, and yet they have the arrogance to think they speak on behalf of God Almighty. Well, there's an imperative for white Christians to come out of Babylon, a hyphenated Judeo-Christianity that has become malignant. They even go so far as to call it not Messianic Christianity. They call it Messianic Judaism. They don't beat around the bush. Why not call it Messianic Traditions of the Elders? The Jews saw Christianity growing exponentially in the first century, and they tried to piggyback it onto their own Jewish fables. And they're trying to do the same thing today with a Jewish voice, not a Christian voice. Because they are cursed, cursing true Christians. If they were disciples of Christ, they would not be giving that which is holy to the Canaanites, the house of Canaan. As it is, it's dogs casting pearls before other dogs in a convolution of Matthew 7:6. Why Christians should realize that if they can't soar with eagles, don't try to fly with the flock. Don't come into Christian identity with your Judeo presumptions. Go back to the gaggle of turkeys and stuff yourself with all that's in the world. The gates of hell have prevailed against some 35,000 denominations or so because of the leaven of Jews. Because the watchmen on the wall are in a deep slumber. Because those who curse Christians have been effective. How? They have persuaded our people to forsake their heritage and love the rewritten history of America's conquest by Jews. Every war since the war of northern aggression against the South has been a Jewish war. Does anybody in their right mind think that we're blessed with so much blood sacrificed on the altars of Judaism? Do our fallen lie buried in vain at Arlington Cemetery? The sad truth is that they died so that their own families, their communities, their nation race would deserve the wrath of God for doing the bidding of Antichrist, those who help the ungodly and hate the Lord. The big news story this last week, was the movie American Sniper being at the forefront of the Academy Awards and being a box office smash, breaking previous records for January. It's based on a true story of Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. Now, as much as I admire how many lives he may allegedly have saved because of his marksmanship, being the most lethal marksman in U.S. military history, having over 250 kills, 160 confirmed, he was nonetheless a pawn for Jewish machinations to destroy opposition to the Jew world order. If Chris Kyle was anything like me, after I got out of Vietnam and started looking into why there was so much waste of life and resources in that no-win war, he may have been getting close to the truth about Jews and their treachery towards America. I haven't seen the movie, and I don't plan on paying $10 to see it, but I bet there's not one thing connecting Jews to his murder, something like General George Patton. But even his wife said, "I think that he died because somebody wanted to kill him." Yes. And it wasn't just a fellow Marine with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, come on. SEAL Team Number 6, who allegedly took out Osama bin Laden, months later are wiped out in a helicopter crash? Chris Kyle was expendable for the services rendered to his Jewish masters. Charles Lindbergh was given a memo to shut up with the kidnapping murder of his baby boy. However you want to interpret John 8:44, the Jews have a congenital propensity for murder and lies. If white Christians are Edom, then where is our Kol Nidre? That's the annual disannulment of vows that Jews practice every year. How many more Jew wars must we fight and die for before we wake up? They get rich and we get buried. There's nothing just or honorable about sending our boys into harm's way if they don't even know or understand the reasons for doing so, or their friends and family who vote for their own self-destruction. I can't think of one Congress critter that does not lick the boots of Israeli. Now, last week, John Bonehead Boner, Speaker of the House, has recently invited Zionist butcher of Tel Aviv, Benjamin Netanyahu, to speak before Congress, where he no doubt will receive another standing ovation. We were sucker punched with 9/11, and a lot of people now believe it was an inside job. Well, who, pray tell, is on the inside? It's the neocons, Jews who were formerly left-wing socialists, now masquerading as Republican hawks. The Patriot Act and the Department of Homeland Security were developed way before 9/11 in order to be readily accepted by the public, who was being primed and nurtured for an Orwellian perpetual war for perpetual peace. If you understand Marxist dialectics, it's easy to see the latest barrage of warmongering and justification for killing those who have been properly demonized by the media. America Sniper is deja vu all over again, glorifying the horrors of war in the name of entertainment. Do you think this might be inculcating in the next generation that it's cool to snipe whomsoever the Jew orders dead? What happens when these American snipers turn on their fellow Americans? There will be wars and rumors of wars. But it's not by the will of God. So why are Messianic Jews so gung-ho in eradicating every critic of Jewry? It's because they can't hear the voice of Jesus Christ, which the Judaization of the churches proclaim, love your enemies, and that God loves everybody. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Cognitive dissonance then procures the instability of a double mind, enabling a dysfunctional society that's just ripe for totalitarian dictators. Do Jews observe God's law of warfare? Hardly. They violate it with impunity because they are Esau Edom. There's nothing written in their heart and mind except malice and wickedness. The Jews need Judases like Rabbi Bernus so that by way of deception, they can wage war. It's not anti-Semitism that makes the Israelite state the border of wickedness that Malachi speaks of. No, it is a region given over to the curse of reprobation from God himself, who said the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. Think again about the Abrahamic covenant, where God says, I will curse him that curses thee. Bernus equates anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism. But how many Judaized Goyim know that Zionism was predicated? It began, it was initiated on terrorism, which is hardly something a Christian Jew should be proud of. In fact, there are anti-Zionist Jews who are vehemently opposed to the Zionist state. The devil's in the details. I've already shown how Jews live by the curse and curse anyone who is not subservient to the Jewish greed. Rabbi Bernus doesn't even bother to mention the white race in his Messianic Judaism, other than the subtle implication that if you don't bless or support the Jew, you might as well be wearing a swastika armband, that you have the crematoria spirit of Nazis. He complains on his TV show that half the churches are into replacement theology, meaning that Israel has been replaced by non-Jew Christians or Gentiles. In Christian Identity, we make the same complaint. However, the application of Israel is directed to the white race exclusively. There are no spiritual Israelites of other races. But as I pointed out in the previous message, JVT is hypocritical by placing African Negroes and Oriental Indians as the long-lost tribes of Israel. That is replacement theology just as surely as the insidious universalism of churchianity. Now, since Jews have become so successful in convincing the world that they are Judah, and then advancing the big lie that, heck, they might as well call themselves Israel too, is the notion that they can now be Christians, with the caveat that it's on their own terms. I guess Rabbi Bernus didn't get the memo that says, therefore I say unto you, the you here is being directed to the chief priests, elders, scribes, and the mongrel bad figs of Judah that were the establishment religion of Judaism in Jerusalem at that time. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Well, who was it given to? Whenever the Hebrews race mixed, they forfeited their inheritance as the sons of God. Now, I've explained before how Esau did just that. They became the ruling class at the time of Christ and were the progenitors of Judaism. They only had the facade, the Halloween mask, to impersonate Judah, Israel. Therefore, they were disqualified from ever inheriting the scepter or birthright and thus ruling in the kingdom. They blew it by creating strange half-breed children and killing Christ. So it reverted back to Joseph, because the two sticks or rods of authority found in Ezekiel 37, where Judah and Joseph, well, Judah was the scepter which brought forth the Messiah, but lost it to Joseph after they crucified the Lord. Joseph had two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh, which we believe to be Great Britain and America. History shows that these two great white Israelite Christian nations have advanced the kingdom of God on earth more than any bad fig Jew could ever imagine or hope for. But that has not stopped them from once again trying to take the kingdom by hook or crook in earnest since 1967 with Jewish voices. Jerusalem and Jews are persona non grata with God and have been forsaken by God forever. Now, this is how Farrah Fenton renders John 1, 12 and 13, quote, "But whosoever welcomed him," meaning Christ, "believing in his power, he bestowed upon them the right to become the children of God. They were not begotten of blood, nor from natural desire, nor yet from the design of man, but from God himself," end quote. The right to become the children of God is the authority which only Israel would attain and believe in Christ. The context is racial. Within the body of Christ that is not adulterated with a mongrel element. Greek expert William Fink translates verse 13 as follows, quote, "Not those from mixed origin, nor from a desire of the flesh, nor from the will of man." The object of identifying who is who can only be in the context of the people born or begotten from above, who likewise were chosen above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The whole dog and pony show that Jews foist upon white society is a farce. If you read the propaganda in JVT magazine and you've awakened from the years of Jewish brainwashing, God will open your eyes to see just how evil and antichrist the Jews really are. Hopefully, this series has been an eye-opener. If you're still in a spiritual coma, you're the proverbial fool. Quote, "As when a dog goes to his own vomit and becomes hateful, so a fool who returns in his wickedness to his own sin." Proverbs 26:11. You're not in Holocaust denial, which can land you in prison. You're in denial of Christ, Rabbi. In the November-December 2014 issue, there's an article titled, "The time for sleeping is over." And it's the chutzpah of diatribe bashing eternally the German church for what happened in the 1930s. As author Joel Richardson, a swarthy Portuguese mamzer and Shabbaz goy for Messianic Jews, plants a bug in your mind by asking, quote, "Wow, the German believers were so blind? How could they not have seen what was coming?" End quote. Well, just the opposite is true. The scales fell from their eyes. A Christian leader exposed the Jew. They stopped puking in their own vomit, being subjects of Jewish bankers and decadent immorality. They started behaving like a Christian society, hearing the Christian voice of the true Messiah. What came to the German nation was its own health, prosperity, and happiness without the stench of Jewish influence. The war against German decency and order was declared, war was declared in 1933 by Jews. And by 1939, these Jews gambled everything in a world war of which Jewish deaths have been greatly exaggerated in what they call the Shoah, or Holocaust, or Holo-hoax. But, hey, that's Shoah business. And the game has been played full steam ahead ever since. But after 70-plus years of playing the hysterical victim, they're running out of steam, becoming more vile and violent to stay in the game. The powerful delusion is that white Christians have believed the Jews and his lies for so long. The soldiers of Satan are once again on the march, Richardson warns. Really? That should be understood as a subconscious Freudian slip. They must have think tanks to dream up this stuff whereby good is evil and evil is good. Can Joel Richardson exaggerate anything more than the hack needs 6 million gas bags? He says, quote, "In truth, however, the signs unfolding throughout the earth today are 10,000 times stronger than any sign that could have been discerned in Germany. The increase in anti-Semitism, rapid rise of radical Islam, the brutal emergence of ISIS, and still many believers are slumbering. The rising tide of Jew hatred is being expressed openly across the internet, from the pulpits of mosques all across the earth. Open declarations are going forth, calling for the day when Muslims join together to carry out the final genocide against God's covenant people. And still, many Christians are asleep. Years ago, when I began warning the church about the rising tide of radical Islam and a threat of a coming Islamic caliphate, I was scorned. 9 years later, the radical group known as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria have literally beheaded, kidnapped, raped, slaughtered, and even buried alive tens of thousands of men, women, and children, end quote. Wow. Can you believe it? I don't. Can you see the Jewish commissar coming to your church? When you consider that 9/11 was a bunch of other headline news mass murders were a bunch of twisted Jewish lies? Why should we believe that ISIS isn't the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service? In fact, most of the 9/11 hijackers were not from Iraq, but Saudi Arabia. Now, the House of Saud has an interesting history, traced back to Abdul Wahhab and his sponsor Ibn Saud, who founded the Saudi dynasty, were of Jewish Edomite origin. The enemies of white Christian America are kind of getting a little sloppy. More and more evidence is piling up to expose Jewish dialectics of creating their own adversaries as an excuse to wage a campaign of genocide to acquire Middle Eastern real estate. The Jewish-run CIA and Mossad created Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorist groups through financial and arms deals, which is extensively documented in an attempt to fight other perceived opposition. Now, don't get me wrong. The rank and file are just more useful idiots who may have good intentions filled with righteous indignation for their families being slaughtered, but they don't see that they're being used as pawns in the game and will be betrayed by their leaders. There is no Islamic army, but there is a wag the dog propaganda campaign to make the public believe there is an army of Satan directed against God's chosen people, the poor, innocent Jew. Therefore, we must go to war and kill whoever the Jew orders dead. Rabbi Bernus is up to his eyeballs being complicit in this conspiracy. Murder and lies can only go so far before God intervenes. In Christian Identity, we are well aware of the centuries-old practice employed by Ashkenazi Jews to change their name, becoming the chameleon crypto-Jew, blending into the dominant race of a country they moved into, so that they can then assert their game of usury and banking, which then facilitates worming their way into positions of influence and thus serving the interest of international Jewish communism. And it's no different in the realm of religion, which Jewish Voice Today does. The disguise has gotten even more sophisticated in modern times with plastic surgery and the merchandising of Jewish stars in sports and entertainment. Joel Richardson is one ugly bastard who was on a recent JVT broadcast being touted by the pig-faced Rabbi Bernus as some kind of prophecy expert, but is in reality a dim-witted hack who regurgitates all of the standard Jewish garbage. He's not saying anything different than Fox News or CNN about ISIS, except he puts a religious spin on it. Well, here's the reality check that critical thinking presents. Whoever heard of ISIS until a couple of months ago? Where did they get their funding from? Where do they bank? How is it possible that they became so powerful overnight? Where do they get their weapons from? What is their game plan? If we know where they are, as the NSA knows exactly where we are, why can't we send in a drone attack? Or are they somehow able to avoid satellite surveillance and tracking? If the media knows how brutally dangerous they are, how come they don't know anything else about them? Like, when and how were they formed? Why does everything ISIS do fit so perfectly with the aims of the neocons and the project for a new American century, what is known as the globalist New World Order? Do most people really trust the media for telling the truth? Do most people know that the mainstream media is owned and controlled by only six corporations, and they all support the Israeli? If ISIS is making $1 million a day selling crude oil from captured oil fields in Iraq, who are they selling it to? And why aren't there any sanctions on the buyers? Don't you think Israeli wants Arab land because of the oil? Because they don't have the same resources and supplies? Their only Arab-friendly country is Saudi Arabia. And they're crypto-Jews. Well, you're not going to hear any answers from the above unless you go beyond the controlled Jewish media. One last thing, and that's the drama unfolding in France. Yet another theater of bloodshed, and yet an obvious flow of disinformation to mold public opinion, with the incident of a cartoon magazine that specializes in blasphemies, not just against Muslims, but depicting Jesus in a three-way sex orgy with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This magazine, Charlie Hebdo, is thoroughly a Jewish publication owned and run by Jews. And I say it had it coming. The Jew, once again, is playing the game of potter and clay, inciting 1 million people to march for freedom of speech. But France has become somewhat of a thorn in the side of Israeli. Remember that French ambassador, Daniel Bernard, who in 2004 made a rather controversial remark, saying, "All the current troubles in the world are because of that shitty little country, Israel." Pardon my French. Why should the world be in danger of World War III because of those people? End quote. The world is in danger in spite of calls for a worthless prayer by Rabbi Bernus. That is, pray for the peace of Israel. Excuse me, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When Israeli has a stockpile of nuclear weapons at Dimona, and there has never been an international inspection of their weapons of mass destruction, even though that's what's demanded of Iran that has no such arsenal. It becomes very serious business when former president of Israeli, Shimon Peres, spoke of the Samson option, which is the world demanding inspections, and if push comes to shove, the Jews will point their missiles at Europe. And he said, "We will take all of you with us." Nice, huh? Want to hear something really wild and sloppy? The brutal emergence of ISIS, as reported first from French sources, is headed by a new so-called caliphate by the name of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. His real name is Simon Elliott, born of Jewish parents, a trained actor, a Mossad operative specializing in espionage and psychological warfare against Arab and Islamic societies. This information was attributed to Edward Snowden and published by newspapers and other websites. The serpent head of the Islamic State has cooperated with U.S. Secret Service, British, and Israel to create an organization capable of attracting terrorist extremists around the world. According to documents released by Snowden, the only solution for the protection of the Jewish state is to create an enemy near its borders, end quote. Iranian intelligence discovered the true and full identity of Elliot with photo support of the two personalities matching. One Jew, one Islamic. He was even in a photo op with Senator John McCain. It really doesn't get much richer than that, my friend. The Jewish plan for the ages has always been a greater Israeli, a Pax Judaica, a Jewish world order void of Jesus Christ. And Jewish voices are part of the mad, mad world, thinking it can fool enough of the people most of the time for the fruition of their dreams. But all that evil fig tree cursed by Jesus can produce is leaves. Just more of the barren stalk of Edom, which will never produce fruit. It's a crazy world out there, and JVT makes it insane. To the Jew first? Never! If the aim of Mossad is to wreck all Muslim countries by leading all the Muslim institutions, then why is it so difficult to believe that the same motive isn't involved in Christian countries leading Christian churches? I say, pray for the peace of mind for true Israel, the white race, in finding their way out of Babylon and into the glorious light of truth. Thank you.